Well, I'll just start us off then. Hello, welcome to Tech It or Leave It. Welcome to what will probably be quite a short show, to be honest. It's just me and Jen here, and we're going to discuss whatever has happened in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to take us very long at all.
Yeah, but we have a show, though.
Well, this is it. This is a file I will definitely put out, and people can download, and I'm happy with that. There. I used to care about quality. Now we just get it out. Just make a file with noise on and let people download. We'll put an ad on at the beginning. It'll be great.
Yeah.
There's another news story. I know they're in there. I'm doing what I normally do and just going back page after page of The Verge and calling them out as I see them and all that. The first one I found, Flickr brings back Flickr Pro. I imagine it's a shame Simon's not here for this. I imagine pro photographers will actually be quite interested in this. They used to have a pro account and then they got rid of it because they gave everyone a terabyte and just gave you the option of paying $50 for the year to remove adverts. Do you know, in all honesty, does it have adverts?
I don't know. I took off my Flickr account about 6 months ago, but I was using Flickr Pro specifically so I could edit photos on Flickr, and of course they dumped all that and just gave you bigger storage for free and all that, and I lost all my editing stuff, which I missed, but now that they're bringing it back, I guess enough people were complaining about it that they're bringing it back. I enjoyed it. I actually, because I was doing some photos for a while and posting them and editing them on Flickr. And for those who are doing that kind of stuff, how much is it going to cost to?
Either $5.99 a month or $49.99 a year.
Okay.
And existing Pro users will be automatically upgraded to the new version of Pro.
Well, that's nice.
So, I'm trying to figure out what it is that it does. What am I getting for my pro? Offering improved insights and analytics, seeing how many people are viewing your photos. It also brings back the pro badge, which announces your superiority over basic users. They do that on SoundCloud as well, actually. And whether it's subconscious or not, you in your head give more weight to things that happen from those accounts that have the little orange star next to them.
I guess it's a status thing or something. I don't know. But when I was using it, you got also some editing capability with it.
I'd be surprised if there wasn't anything like that in there, because it's... I kind of feel that with what Google are doing, they've got some fantastic online editing tools.
Mm-hmm.
And now maybe if you want to be a player in online photos, that's the base offering. You've got to have something, haven't you? You've got to have some basic photo editing, because Google will give it me for free.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I need Flickr for?
To just host your photos. But then, you know, Google has that too.
Exactly. This is the problem. So, I bet Flickr will have some editing tools. I like what Yahoo have been doing, to be honest, since Marissa Meyer took over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. They've gotten better, but I don't know. I got rid of my Flickr account, so I can't really chime in much more about this.
Yeah, I have it, but I don't do anything with it. I actually took the Flickr app off my phone last week or the week before, something like that. Because every time I take a picture, it goes to 19 different places, and Flickr was just another one. And I never did anything with it, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got OneDrive for backup and iCloud for backup and Google for backup and it just goes on and on, so...
Well, I might have to bring it back simply because I'm starting up another blog. I was mainly using it to post pictures of stuff I was putting on my blog at the time and a few other things.
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll see. I might get it back. I'm not sure yet. Or I might use Google Photos. I'm not sure. I mean, we'll see.
I suppose the other thing is the photo hosting isn't the technical behemoth task that it perhaps once was.
True.
You know, we if you want to do a blog with photos on, every blogging service on the planet will let you do a blog with photos on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when you look at how Tumblr is geared up and just going through their, I spend a lot of time going through Tumblr's themes because I'm never happy with the one on mine. And most of them are geared towards photo blogs.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of thing.
And yeah, WordPress is going that way too. A lot of photo type stuff.
Yeah, and they never mention file sizes. So I was distracted by that fly again. It keeps coming dangerously close to me. Like, you can get me, but you won't, though. Like Barkley with his blanket. It's so Flickr Pro is back anyway. Flickr Pro.
Yeah.
Can't say something else that changed. This was actually quite a big one. Apple stops letting iOS beta testers publish unfair app reviews.
Mm.
This has been a problem for quite some time within the beta process of iOS devices. It's become more of a problem since they started letting the general public download beta versions of the OS. Which I think started with version 7 or version 8. This is still a relatively new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what people would do is they'd get the new OS and they'd load up all their apps from the old OS and find one that doesn't work because it's a different operating system, then go on the App Store and give that app a 1-star review.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
The problem is people are morons.
Yeah.
This is ultimately the problem. You are using a beta version of an operating system that no one said worked. That's why it says beta, not finished. So there's that. And also, the developer of an app may very well know that it doesn't work under iOS 9. In fact, I guarantee you that they don't, because I guarantee that anyone who makes any kind of a living off the App Store downloads the new OS the nanosecond it's available to test their app with.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of them, they have warnings like, this is an alpha or beta version, you know, tread with care. This doesn't have blah, 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 blah. It doesn't have this. But people complain anyway because people are people.
Yeah. The developers can't even upload and release an updated version of the app because you're not allowed to upload apps for the new OS until the new OS is publicly available or until about a week before.
Mm-hmm.
I think they generally do. So even if there is a problem and it's known about and it's fixed, there is no mechanism for the developer to get that fixed to the user until the new operating system comes out. So giving anything a 1-star review because it doesn't work properly in that area is just really mean and dumb. And so they've finally blocked it so you can't put those reviews on there.
Mm.
I have seen App Store developers for the Mac App Store complaining that they haven't done it on there. And so there are still apps that don't work under El Capitan that are getting 1-star reviews for no good reason.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to get that sorted. But that was a big deal. There's a lot of developers who are sleeping more easily because of that.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't know if they put much stock in reviews. Maybe they do. Especially ones that say it doesn't work. I do read those, I think.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's one thing to be getting a review from someone who's, quote-unquote, you know, an official reviewer or whatnot, because half the time they're paid off in any field.
Yeah.
But when you get it from, I don't know, it's hit or miss with public reviews because of the fact that, yeah, you're going to get those trollers who just, you know, put a bad review down because, you know, they're a troll.
Yep.
And then occasionally you will get an honest review in the middle of all that trolling that will help from the masses. So I don't know. It's
people annoy me. What can I say?
Well, on the same vein as banning stuff, did you hear Twitter is banning jokes now?
I read a little something about this. If you have more information on that, please share.
Yes. Well, apparently it's jokes that are copyrighted, though. At this point, it's like, how are you supposed to copyright a joke?
Wait a second. Right. We have to stop immediately. What do you mean you can copyright a joke?
I don't know, but
there are such things in the world as a copyrighted joke.
apparently, according to Twitter.
Do we have an example of a copyrighted joke?
Let me see. Because the article I'm looking at, they were specifically talking about a article writer who uses Twitter to quote unquote test jokes, and a lot of them are getting removed because they were started by someone else. So yeah, they're outright deleting tweets that have ripped off jokes, as they call them. Just let people laugh. I mean, really.
Just because
I mean, how long has it been since we've heard, you know, why did the chicken cross the road? Would that be taken off?
I don't know. The best I've found is a BBC News article from 2010 asking, can a joke be copyrighted? But that would obviously only apply here. And
according to Twitter, yes.
And yeah, according to them, it can be. Surely someone has to do a takedown notice or something. Surely it would work in that way.
I don't, it doesn't explain in this article exactly how they determine it's a copyrighted joke. It just says that they're taking them down. Well, whatever, Twitter.
Yeah. If they're doing it, they're doing it. I was talking about this the other night, that they're looking for a new CEO at Twitter because theirs is leaving. Mm-hmm. And there's just no way I'd take that job, actually. I know it would come probably with a nice compensatory package of some kind, but in terms of being the CEO of Twitter and caring about the brand and making all you think about be Twitter, and in fact how you take that company forward and what they do in the future, I honestly don't know. I couldn't be the CEO of Twitter like that. Like, what are your plans for Twitter, Rich? No, I haven't got a clue. It's just the thing that, and it does what it does, and it's never really changed a great deal. And all it seems to do is irritate people now.
Well, I mean, it's still, for the most part, the internet in this form and how widespread it is and how much people use it is still really in its infancy. And we haven't really determined a lot of rules and regulations. I mean, we're trying, but we have certain rules by country. But the internet is worldwide, and there's, because of that, there's no true way to really regulate it worldwide. Because I know that technically the internet's been around since, what, the 50s or 60s, but we've been using it as such a widespread source of information for, what, the past 25 years or so?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's still, I just don't really know what to do with a lot of it still.
I feel like Twitter is a kind of stopgap solution for something better. And I don't know what that better thing is, but I know it's not Twitter. Because it fulfills a role. I don't think... I think Twitter exists because there's a need. It's not just a random thing. It gives us the... what it means to me is sort of as a public figure, is it gives me a place where I can pass out relatively important and new information to an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And they can consume that. And as a consumer myself, it gives me that a Twitter feed is lots of things from people that I have chosen to follow.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of, first of all, in terms of ordinary people, people who are not trying to cultivate an audience of any kind, I honestly don't know why they ever tweet a single thing. I really don't. I don't know that. I've never seen an example of sort of a group of friends who know each other following each other on Twitter and using that as their social network. That's much more of a Facebook thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really can't imagine what the role is of Twitter going forward, because I don't think it really means anything to ordinary people. It's
basically a legalized form of stalking.
Of what?
of stalking.
Oh, stalking. I thought, do you know what?
Stockings, not yeah. stuff you put on your feet. No, stalking, as in watching somebody without their knowledge or with their knowledge, depending on your point of view.
Well, and even then, it's sort of, because you're putting stuff on Twitter for the sole purpose of it being consumed by as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the problem with that is that most people doing it don't have anything interesting to say. I'm kind of including myself in that. I'm not saying I'm the perfect Twitter user and every tweet I put out is solid gold. Most of it is garbage. And that's another problem with the platform. It's too easy to just type a sentence and then it's gone into the world.
Oh, God. Well, some of them, they're pretty creative. And then you got people like, I hate to name call, but Jaden Smith with his random...
Didn't grow up in the real world issues. That's what that kid's got. You know, that kid's got problems to deal with that you and I have no conception of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just weird. That kid's weird. And look at what happened with Nikki and Taylor this week. And that it's not a great platform. It's mm-hmm. kind of meaningless. And anything, I kind of also think that anything they've added to it kind of almost tries to serve to keep you on it for more time. But because that's clearly not what it's for, it doesn't work. For example, when we link to SoundCloud episodes on Twitter, it puts up a brilliant SoundCloud player on your Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm.
But what is anyone going to do with that? Are you going to sit and listen to us talk for an hour without scrolling Twitter? I don't think you do that. I've never done it. I've never listened to a podcast on Twitter.
Mm.
So I don't expect anyone to do that with our stuff ever. What's the point in that for anything other than extremely short form stuff like Vine videos? You know, I don't know what they do. I just see Twitter as something that eventually becomes so much of a dark, dirty hole of the internet that it just gets shut down.
It seems to be going strong for now, but yeah, we'll see.
For now, because I think it's still, I think to a lot of people, it's still shiny and new. And I don't mean us, I mean people like around where my mum is with technology, that she's sort of still coming to grips with the fact that it's something she can come to grips with, and she's kind of interested but very slowly moving with it. And I suppose actually as well, if the truth were known, if she were to say to me, why do I need a Twitter account, I would reply, you don't waste your time with it. You in no way need a Twitter account. It's just interesting mm-hmm. how that's changed.
Yeah. Well, I can do more with my Facebook account than I can with Twitter anyway. I mean, you can only say so much in 140 characters that you can post an entire novel practically on Facebook if you want.
Well,
you
exactly.
Know?
And I think the difference is with Facebook as well, mostly the people who read what you're putting on there are immediate friends, people you actually know, to whom things that you say about your life are actually possibly relevant, when on a wider scale, no one cares. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things. Like, most people couldn't give a crap why you ate lunch today. But the person that you regularly do eat lunch with but didn't today might care a great deal and might want to go to that place with you next time you have lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's one of those things. I think Facebook is much better for you know, ordinary, normal people. Just stay on Facebook with the people that you know. But then it doesn't negate the point of being on social networking, because with Facebook, you can still join groups and meet new people. Do you, people don't meet new people on Twitter. Again, I don't think I've ever done that.
Unless you're tweeting a meetup.
Yeah.
You know.
It's an odd thing. So, good luck, Twitter. I noticed that they're taking feature hints from Kim Kardashian right now. That she tweeted, and God, it was terrible, this. can't even remember where I read it, but this it was yesterday I read it, that she'd been tweeting about new features to Twitter, and the CEO, the soon-to-leave CEO, had set up a meeting with her. Like, come in, tell us what features we should have. And so you think, first of all, I actually think if you're looking for a new CEO, you could actually do worse than Kim Kardashian for a product like Twitter. So there is that. But second of all, the feature that she tweeted about was she thinks we should have the ability to edit tweets rather than delete and repost them. That's only a feature that everyone who's ever used Twitter has asked for since the first time that they used it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a clever new feature. That's what everybody wants. So he's clearly just listening to her because he wants to meet her.
Yeah, well, Kim Kardashian is...
If I thought she'd turn up to my office if I invited her, I'd invite her. But I don't think... Kim, you can come over if you want. We'll hang out. Do not bring Kanye.
Well, we've talked enough about...
Yeah, I just can't stress that enough. I can't stress that enough.
I will say the two of them are perfect for each other, but...
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
But that's... Anyway, let's move on. Google Plus Photos is shutting down next month. Oh, I'm not going back to Photos. Just, you're on Google Photos, people, now. Just deal with it. Who cares if the word plus is in there?
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have?
There's a tiny surgical robot now that's smaller than... They have a picture up that's... It's a little arm, and it's smaller than the size of a U.S. penny. But it can do up like really, really, really tight repairs on little tiny things. I just think it's amazing that we're getting smaller and smaller with this technology. They're calling it the Da Vinci surgical robot.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. And basically it can do, it's meant for, I believe it's meant for surgery. And to work on stuff like arteries and veins and that kind of thing.
Well, surely the end goal is we just get you born and someone like somehow injects or you swallow this little robot or a few little robots and they just swim around in you for the rest of your life, fixing any problems that they might happen to come across.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. Surely that's the end goal in the long term.
Yeah, yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, they've already got it, so you can operate on certain parts of the body with robotics and that kind of thing, which I think is cool because it's more sanitary and so forth, and you can be more precise as far, especially with like heart surgery and all that.
Yeah,
they've been using it for a while for like heart surgery and so forth, and just it's just more precise and less chance of screw ups during surgery and that kind of thing. But this thing is so tiny that they can get even further in and do even more precise surgery on people, which I think is extraordinary. I mean, Star Trek is what like Bone said is like, you guys are in the dark ages, you know?
Yeah. For now we are. But come on, medical. So thing, I just swallow it and then it just keeps me alive forever. That's all we need. That seems quite easy to me. Just make one of those.
See, we need nanotech that we can constantly repair us. That would be the ideal. Until, the machines take over and then we're screwed.
Well, then they've won immediately because we've all got a machine inside us and they just set them all to blow up in our brains and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've just had an awesome idea for a sci-fi novel.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Nothing will ever come of that. Don't worry.
Well, we've done so many stories about, the machines coming up and taking over. I mean, it's been done for decades now.
It's a good one, though, because one day we kind of all think it's going to happen. I think that's it. Just
well, yeah, as much as
enough time.
And I mean, even now we're so reliant on technology that it's not that far-fetched.
Didn't J.J. Abrams just do a TV series on what if all the technology went away? Was that a thing?
I don't remember. I maybe
I seem to remember adverts for it, but I didn't didn't watch it because there was an element of, I've watched your TV shows before, sir, and I believe that we have passed the point at which I will be fooled. So we will not be watching another one with a long, drawn-out storyline that will maybe end in 8 seasons if you have the faintest fucking idea where it's
going.
Oh,
you're talking about Revolution. Yeah, I watched that. I thought you were talking about a documentary. No, Revolution, it for 3 seasons. Yeah, it was actually really good. That turned out it was nanotech that they had released, and the nanotech was, quote-unquote, blocking electrical signals. So just, it wasn't that the technology was completely removed. It was still there. They had certain devices that could bypass the nanotechnology that was in the air. But for the most part, yeah, it was people back to pretty much no phones, no computers, no nothing. The one guy in particular on the show was actually, it was disheartening because he was an executive for Google, was making millions and upon millions of dollars, and suddenly, you know, no technology. He had nothing.
Yeah. I'd be the same. What can I do if there are no computers and phones? I am trained for nothing. This is it. I suppose I could get people together and talk about the latest wooden scissors that have been released and that sort of thing. That's the best I can do.
Yeah, but they kind of left. I mean, it was specifically, stuff like computers and whatnot. Guns could still work.
Yeah.
Because they have mechanical parts instead of electronic parts and that kind of deal. But anything with a battery or had to be plugged in pretty much was shut off.
Wow.
And it was interesting. I mean, the worst part was, and it's kind of related to some of these zombie apocalypse things that you see.
Yeah.
It's like how people become when things are taken away and how they have to survive. That's a theme that runs through a lot of this stuff. And you find that to survive, people will do some really, really, really disgusting things.
Oh, yes. I'm sure they will. I know I would. That's just me, though. I have other news.
Okay.
Spotify have a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
They've not got enough features, so they've added a new feature. They now have a weekly playlist of personalized music just for each and every user. So if I go in my Spotify, I have a new playlist that's automatically created, and it apparently refreshes every Monday morning. So were I somebody with a job to go to, I would do it tomorrow morning, probably. I think that's what they do. And it's updated. It looks like it's updated now. Yes, it has. No, that's my new Music Friday playlist. There we go. Discover Weekly. It updates once a week, and it's supposed to be 30 songs that I'm going to like based on what they know about me.
Is this in response to Apple Radio?
This is definitely something in response to something Apple have done, I would imagine. It's, do you know what? I had a go at it at first because there's quite a few songs on it I know, but I actually gave it a chance and let it play through, and it's a really good playlist, and I ended up genuinely adding about 5 or 6 songs to my library from it, which on a automatically generated playlist of 30 songs, given that I already know very well sort of maybe 10 of them. You know, you turn it on and it's like, My Sharona by the Neck. I don't know that one. Gosh, what could that be? It's like, yeah, there's lots of songs here I know. I know Brick House by the Commodores. Thank you, Spotify. I have heard Layla by Derek and the Dominoes and all of the things like that. But in between those tracks, there was lots of new stuff that I actually ended up liking and, like say, added to the library. After my speaking of Apple Music last week, things have changed for me. I must admit. I don't like it as much anymore.
Oh, the newness of it has worn off.
Yes, I knew this would happen, and I was very hesitant to say anything at first. That's why when I first started using it, the first 2 things I posted on my blog were called Things I'm Going to Regret That I Said About Apple Music Later. And I was ready for it last week, and then we had Simon talking about how much he loved it and used it, and that just threw me off entirely. And so I jumped on the pile, and this week I'm not loving it so much, and I'm back on Spotify. It has regained the front page app space on my phone, and I'm not a fan of Apple Music. It's because it started not working very well for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from a back end point of view, like, it's kind of broken.
How so?
Well, there's been a number of occasions where a track just will not play. Like, you can see it on a list, I can press it, it will come up on the playing screen, I can press play, and then nothing will happen for about 30 seconds, and then it moves on to the next track. And that will be from an Apple-generated playlist, not even something I've tried to find and make play, but something they've said, hey, why don't you listen to this? And then they go, I won't play, though. Like, just why is that happening? That makes no sense. And I've also found when you're sort of skipping along in tracks, Apple Music falls over a lot more quickly than Spotify does.
Mm-hmm.
If I skip sort of five or six tracks quite quickly in Apple Music, you end up with sort of a, no, you're going to sit and wait for 30 seconds before I get my head around what you've just done. And Spotify never does that. It rarely does that. If it does, it takes a lot more quick skips to get it to trip over.
Well, I remember last week y'all were mentioning that it doesn't work very well with albums. So as far as you see the song and you click it and it goes to the album, and there were some problems with that.
Yeah, that still is broken. I'm getting problems with... and I didn't notice it was doing this, but it absolutely is doing this. It will only let you have one copy of a song, which you kind of on face value think, well, why would I need more than one copy of a song? Well, because sometimes the same song goes on more than one album.
Yeah.
Or on more than one playlist or something like that. So if you have an album and then you download a greatest hits, if there are any songs from the greatest hits album, sorry, from that album that are on the greatest hits, then it won't download them again. And you'll end up with a greatest hits album with a couple of tracks missing. And I've noticed that is also the case for playlists and that sort of thing. I wasn't sure what was happening at first. It happened for Man Weekend when I was away the other weekend. That I downloaded all the playlists for offline listening. When I got to the place to listen to them, most of the playlists were empty. And it's because those tracks had been sort of removed and associated with something else, like another album that it had backed up or whatever. And so it just pulled itself apart and made itself useless to me. It's not necessarily the music that they've got. It's certainly not their recommendation engine or Beats One or anything like that. It is really the apps and the back end have kind of made it far too irritating to attempt to use day to day.
Yeah.
Now, they may well fix this because this is a technical problem. And one thing everybody said about Apple Music, especially its implementation in iTunes, is that this is done really badly and it's rubbish and it clearly doesn't work. Fix it. And so I think if we're all saying that, they know that and they will fix it. And if they do that before the end of my 3-month trial, maybe I will see the fixes and give it a go. But until then, I'm sticking with Spotify.
And I'm sure Spotify is happy that you are.
I'm sure they are. But I get the feeling they must know this. There's no way they haven't got their iPhones out straight away and started trying the biggest competition. But they must know. Like, it skips all the time. And God, this app's so buggy and that sort of thing. They're not worried. They're not worried. I don't think. Not yet, anyway. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they've reason to be yet. Apple Music isn't finished. And it doesn't work properly. What is there that in principle is good, but it's not finished. It's just too buggy. And I think I kind of always felt like this, and then it got pointed out a lot this week, And I don't know. It was, you know, you might have a thing that you think is good and then someone else points out why they don't like it and you sort of end up agreeing with them on everything and realizing the thing you liked is actually awful.
Mm-hmm.
That was this week for me and Apple Music.
Dear.
So, yeah. I actually am. I'm also tied into paying for Spotify until next April at the earliest anyway. So I'm, whether I like or use it or not, it makes no difference. I'm paying for it for another sort of 10 months. So it's part of a phone contract that I thought, I thought I could get out of it. Cause I don't really use the phone contract. It was for my Android phone, but part of the thing is you get Spotify premium for the length of the contract. So I actually justified getting the phone by saying, well, I'm saving money on Spotify every month. It's like free. But the thing is now, I couldn't discontinue it if I wanted to now. So that's it. I'd have to pay for Apple Music as well as Spotify. And to be honest, that was annoying me as a concept. That's not Apple or Spotify's fault. I've tied myself in. That's not their fault. That's just me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sticking with Spotify for now. Their desktop app's still bobbins, you know, that's still broken and stuff. I found out it's made out of Flash, you know.
Mm.
It's not a real app, it's Flash in a little wrapper of some kind. So no wonder it's crap.
Hmm. Well, I mean, in the end, you're going to pick whichever one you're more comfortable with and that gives you the best service anyway. I mean, that's how we are. And also, apparently Spotify do what some companies do. They're like, okay, that's great. The new best thing, but eventually people will see it's shit and come back and we'll just wait. And
it's good if you can do that, but you've got to be the biggest and the best. And I think to stand and stare down Apple over music is a brave thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, Apple are fucking it up. So maybe they've done the right thing. Well, not that they were ever going to go, oh, Apple Music's out, we'll just close everything down. Everyone, you fired. There's no more money for everyone. Apple have released Apple Music, so we're giving up. That was never going to happen. So, you know, they keep going, whatever, and they're killing it so far.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. This is going to be my new sort of annoying flip back and forth, can never decide which one I like kind of thing. At least it'll shut me up about email for a while. Still on Gmail, everyone, in case you're wondering. I know you're not. I'm sorry. I can't find anything else worth talking about.
Let's see. Over here, there's a big thing that AT&T is buying DirecTV.
Oh, are they? I hadn't seen that.
Yes, that is within the past week or two. That was very recent. So, yeah, they're buying, or they're in negotiations is the best way to put it, to buy DirecTV.
A DirecTV, a cable provider?
Yes.
Right.
DirecTV, they do satellite dishes and that kind of thing. And AT&T, they were a direct competitor a direct competitor to AT&T who was doing their own cable called UVerse, which I have.
Right.
And so AT&T is actually in negotiation to buy DirecTV and merge it in, you know, to, I guess, so AT&T can do dishes. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Because DirecTV was, we had ads all over the place like, well, DirecTV is cheaper, blah, 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 than being cable and all this other stuff. So I guess what's going on is AT&T is going to switch from doing exclusively cable to adding dishes.
Right. Okay.
Satellite. So,
because presumably you can get satellite anywhere, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a satellite. So, but whereas cable, you need to live near lots of other people to make it worth there being a cable put in the floor.
Yeah, but there's the problem that in some parts of the country, you're out in the boonies and you pretty much have to have a satellite dish. And if you're in an urban area, depending on where you are, some areas like where I'm at, we're actually not allowed to have satellite dishes because they're an eyesore.
Really? Wow.
Because even though a DirecTV dish is probably, I'd say, about a little over a foot wide, But still, you have this big dish on your porch and or on your top of your house or whatever.
Oh, they're not big. They're not that big.
Well, they're not that big, but
we used to
proportion, you know, but a lot of, especially a lot of flat complexes here, they will not let you have a satellite dish at all because you have to pretty much stick it on your porch and people steal them and all this other stuff. And so, yeah, they, a lot of places now they won't even let you have one. Now, some housing places they will, but you have to have it in a spot where you can't immediately see it or something like that. It depends on where you're at, but
We have absolutely no restrictions whatsoever surrounding satellite dishes that I'm aware of. Certainly not satellite dishes that most people would get. I would imagine if I wanted to put a 15-foot wide thing in the yard, somebody might say something. But in terms of TV satellite dishes, nothing. Nothing whatsoever. There is one satellite TV provider, and everybody has that. That's pretty much it. On our street, there's no cable, so every house has got a satellite dish outside. Absolutely every house on the street. And that's a very common thing. An extremely common thing. Everyone just has Sky. There is Virgin Media cable, but they aren't everywhere. And it's significantly worse than Sky as a service anyway. If I had a choice of both, I'd still have what we have. But we've always had satellite, and it always has been satellite. When we first did it, the dish my dad brought home was 80 centimeters across. I remember that very clearly. So these current ones are so small to me because I remember the huge ones that were absolutely enormous. There used to be the idea, shall we get a motorized one? Because you could get a motorized one and that would automatically move to pick up signals from different satellites. So you could get even more channels, but they were so big. You had to have planning permission and they had to be cemented into the wall of your house. They couldn't just be like bolted on like the 80 centimeter ones. So yeah, these new ones, they're tiny little, barely there. And no one steals them either. That's the other thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing because over here they do, depending on what neighborhood you're in. But I still remember, those huge-ass satellite dishes that were like 20 feet across. It's like, holy shit.
I did
took up your whole backyard. I mean, that's just...
Yes, I remember being in someone's house and just seeing out the back, what the fuck is that thing? That's just... Are you actually trying to contact the space station with that? And just being told, oh, he likes football, so he watches all of the football that takes place on planet Earth, and it all comes down into that dish. Like, then that's not right. Why would there's... Wow. I've never been a fan of anything so much that I have to consume all examples of it worldwide.
Okay, I was mistaken. As of Friday, this past Friday, the 24th, AT&T has officially acquired DirecTV. So now they are, because they have acquired DirecTV, they are now the largest pay TV provider in the U.S. and the world. Let's see, combining with DirecTV with AT&T is giving customers more choices for great video entertainment integrated with mobile and high-speed internet service. Oh, yeah, because DirecTV had started doing the internet as well. So they're basically adding more channels. They're combining all the channels between the two, so there'll be twice as many channels to choose from. It's now the largest TV provider in the U.S., providing service to more than 26 million customers in the U.S., more than 19 million customers in Latin America, has 132 million wireless subscribers, 310 million mobile subscribers. Holy shit. That's a lot of people.
If they go down, no one would be able to tell anyone.
Speaking of how people are, if that goes down, how many people are going to be upset with no technology?
Exactly. I couldn't put all my eggs in that basket. To be honest, that's so many things. Wow. Well, we have BT over here, and they are really trying their hardest to control all of everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this, before too long, it's going to be like Shadowrun, where there's, you know, everything's run by everything else. And, you know, the conglomerates will combine and they'll only be like, have you ever played Shadowrun?
I haven't.
Or have you ever heard of it? Okay. Shadowrun is basically, it's a dystopian future setting that combines fantasy with, yeah, dystopian setting. And basically, right, there are elves and orcs and all that stuff, but they are in a setting where corporations basically control everything. It's kind of like Blade Runner, but not really. And, you know, so you have like one corp who runs the phones and your food and your that and the other thing. But in Shadowrun, they're kind of like the evil corp.
Yeah, that's totally different from real life.
Yeah, yeah, they just take it to the nth degree in the Shadowrun setting. And there's a few others. I mean, you can add like Matrix and a few other movies and that kind of thing with it. But yeah, it's these corps are just basically running absolutely everything. And what happened was all these corps ended up merging back together after a, you know, a split, kind of like real life at this point, because you see all these like this, AT&T and DirecTV and all that. Because back in the 90s, we had everything split up.
Yeah.
And now they're coming back together. And I was like, it's going to be Shadowrun before you know it. And it's going minus the elves and orcs and everything. But yeah, it's very scary when you think about it. I mean, a perfect example, even though it's 90s cheese, is you look at Demolition Man, and like Taco Bell is the only restaurant who's left. Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah. Gonna happen, people. Gonna happen.
But I mean, I feel like, yeah, because Taco Bell right now is owned by PepsiCo. And so PepsiCo's bought all this stuff, and Coke owns all this stuff, and AT&T owns this stuff, and BBT owns a lot of stuff. And we got, you know, all these corps are just going to eventually become like maybe four different companies that run everything. And it's going to be really scary.
It's true. Get ready for the future, people.
But I mean, it's another thing that's right behind, you know, if we don't get destroyed by our own technology, our corporations are going to do it.
Exactly. That's why I just want a huge corporation, really.
Yeah.
Aston's like, why do you want to take over the world? My response is, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone else is trying to take over the world. If I don't do it, I'll end up being a minion. So, you know, got to try. Otherwise, you're never going to get anywhere. I was just looking on the off chance that we actually did have an email that we might have missed. And we really, really didn't.
No, we don't. We don't. Well, we've been so spotty with episodes that they're probably like, well, fine, they're not even going to read it. And when they finally
we read all our email.
I know we do. But
we are so good with that, don't we? We don't get enough to not read any. And even if it takes us months to get to it, we will be there. It's going to happen. But yeah, do you know what? I'd like to think we're making people cleverer. And maybe they just don't need our help anymore.
Oh, well, maybe not. We'll see.
You know. I've been on a little internal mini rant for the last week with people complaining that things aren't easy to understand as soon as you pick them up. And I'm left thinking, when did that become a thing that everyone insisted on? That you had to be able to just open an app and know how it works. Some apps you need a damn instruction book for, and that's how it should be, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't complain that Photoshop has got too many menus. It's like, well, it does a shit ton of stuff, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And this week I've just been hearing lots of people like, oh, you've put an options menu on your app. That's just too difficult. Right, well, maybe you're just too stupid. That's
yeah. That's well. Speaking of stupid, did you hear the movie Pixels just did not do very well?
I did hear.
Big
that.
Surprise, because it's an Adam Sandler film. I mean, the bright part of that movie probably was Peter Dinklage.
I just feel bad for everyone he's dragging down with him now, and it's someone needs to stop him. I don't know. Are people paying to see these films? Do they make money? They must do, mustn't they? Otherwise,
not make it. Jack and Jill made nothing, but Pixels actually looked like it had some promise, and apparently from what everyone said is shit. So
The reviews have been scathing. I mean, they're not just like, don't bother seeing this movie. Like, it just really angry, angry reviews. There's some great ones on YouTube. I encourage everybody to go and search those out. You'll find them quite easily.
I was hoping finally Adam Sandler had pulled himself out of the ringer, but nope. He just put himself deeper into the ringer, unfortunately. I mean, why do it's kind of like him and M. Night Shyamalan. Why do they keep giving them stuff to do?
I can't figure it out.
There's another M. Night movie coming out in September. I'm like, why?
Yeah, who is giving him money?
I mean, this man should not work in Hollywood ever again. For real.
I won't give him any money. If what was his last one? Was it After Earth? The Will Smith one. Just, they didn't even put his name on that. What's the point of that? At least, you know, then you might as well just pay me half his fee to direct the movie and not put my name on it. And I'll come up with a bad movie probably, but so will he. You know, actually at this point, my track record as a Hollywood director is far superior to M. Night Shyamalan's.
I mean, people keep saying why they keep giving Michael Bay money too, but it's because he actually does make money, even though it's mindless explosions everywhere.
Yeah. You know, Michael Bay's like Twitter. We as a society, part of us asked for Michael Bay to exist. And we hate it, but sometimes a film that is just big robots fighting each other with explosions is what some people want.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue, but can't you have a good film where robots fight each other with explosions and that sort of thing? But
and without racism in it. Yeah. But, you know.
All that sort of thing. But there you go. So we have Michael Bay, and it's all your fault, people of the world. It's all your fault.
I mean, I'm surprised that the Turtles movie actually did well, considering it was, I didn't go to see it, but apparently enough people did that they're going to make a sequel.
Didn't that have what's the name in it?
Megan Fox.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that is kind of almost enough to sell a movie.
Not really. She can't act.
I never implied that she could.
Sure, she looks good, but...
The power will wear off. It really will. And probably very soon as well. But there will be people who saw that film just to see Megan Fox for another hour and a half. I wouldn't watch another...
Well, I don't know, because it's so... with the film industry these days, they're slowly starting to learn that big... you know, epic visual effects are not going to cut it anymore. You kind of have to have a story, except when you're Michael Bay. He seems to be the exception to the rule.
Yeah, for now. It won't go on forever. It can't go on forever. It will end soon. It will end soon.
I mean, some stuff you're like, wow, because like we were discussing with the Ant-Man podcast the other day is... specifically what they did to de-age Michael Douglas for the first scene of the movie. It's phenomenal. I was watching this and I was thinking to myself, that is Wall Street Michael Douglas. And they just kind of plopped him right in there. I mean, it was scary. And you could not tell it was computer generated because it had to be.
Yeah.
It had to be. And another good example is what they did with the first Captain America movie. You could not tell that was another guy with, you know, his face on it. Because that's pretty much what they did. They took a skinny actor and you know, stuck Chris Evans' face on it.
Yeah.
And you could not tell. But, I mean, technology, as far as visual effects, is getting awesome. The problem is that we need the script writers to do better. Or we need the studio executives to accept better scripts or something. Or just keep their hands off of the good scripts. Because in some cases, there was a good script, but the studio went, no, we need to do this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I don't know, but we can discuss this more on a new show that we might be doing here soon that will be about movie news, right, Rich?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to do a movie news show. This one's going to happen because lots of people were interested. I will finish getting that sorted this week and we might start next week.
That's good.
I think. On that note, let's call time on this show. You know, we did an hour.
Mm-hmm.
We're good. We're good to go. It's all fine. So, you know, it's worked out all right in the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. So, thank you for listening, everybody. Shall we be back next week?
Oh, we should.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, we'll do. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll be back next week with another episode of Tech It or Leave It. Do you know what? Send us some email as well. That would really help out. Any questions you have, any advice you want about anything technology, we're pretty good with this sort of thing. And you can just email it to techitorleaveit@simplysyndicated.com. And until then, you might want to check out some of the other shows we've got, including, was it an Admiral's Table about Ant-Man?
Yes, just put out on, I did that on, I believe it was posted either Friday or Saturday. It's up on the site if you want to, you know, check it out. It's
still
SoundCloud
the top thing.
Yep. Else.
It's the mm-hmm. first thing on the website. Go and listen to that as well. Okay then. Right. We'll be back next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Have fun. Bye-bye.